Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Father, for the beauty of this day and how much more beautiful it is that we have this privilege of being here in your house. And Father, we ask for forgiveness when our hearts fail to see thy beauty, fail to see the beauty of this world around us and the beauty of the fellowship that we have. We ask, Father, for eyes to see. Your word promises that you make all things beautiful in your time. And so help us to trust that, Father, and to look with hope on the things about us. Father, as we would now look into your word, we know that there is great beauty in here. And we thank you, Father, that it has been preserved for us, that we could gaze upon its beauty. But even more than the beauty is life-changing words that we find here, words of salvation to our souls. We ask, Father, that as we would look upon these words, that we would believe the one to whom they point to, for your glory. We pray, Father, now that your Holy Spirit would guide us in these truths that are herein. We ask, Father, that we would be submissive to his teaching and to his conviction and his leading, and that we would put aside our own intellect and our own perhaps ideas, so that we would be taught by him. We pray these things and we thank you for all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been some time since we were able to look into the continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. We are currently in Matthew chapter 6. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. When last we looked at the first verse, it reads, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." And we contrasted, after looking at that, we just looked at the one verse, and we contrasted the idea of us living out for others versus living for God. Whom do we do these things for? And this is, in a sense, an introductory verse to the three ideas that are shared here. The one is giving of alms, which we'll speak of tonight. The other would be prayer, and then also fasting. And within those three, Jesus presents to us a prohibition of how he does not want us to do it. Then he also presents to us how we ought to do it, and then the consequences of doing it his way, in a sense. And that we follow that pattern for all three of these. So when we look at the next three verses, 2 to verse 4, it reads, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly." Jesus makes a statement here. It's a very important word that we have to consider. He says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms." What's important about the word "when" is what it isn't. It's not if. These scriptures here, they speak of alms, but this is not a question of whether we ought to give alms or not. Alms, or it was another way of saying charity, or giving to the poor, caring for the poor. Nowadays, we may call it tithing. But alms was understood to be not an option. It's not an if sort of thing. It's a when you do it. As a child of God, alms is not an option. There's never an if you do it. It's only when you do it. And if We're not going to speak and defend the idea of giving of alms because Scripture is very, very clear on that. Go to Deuteronomy 15 and you see very much the heart of God towards the plight of the poor and our response as children of God to the poor people, to the poor who are among us, to the poor who are of the household. He was speaking very specifically to the brethren, those who are of the tribes of Israel, but also to those who were sojourning with us, those who were among us. It's very, very clear. So alms isn't the thing here that's being debated or discussed, but it was rather our attitude when we give alms. As it says in the first verse, there's the contrast here. We're contrasting two sort of ideals. One of the ideals is it's about me, and Brother Gary spoke about this, and as I was listening to Brother Gary on Sunday in both the services, I just thought how perfectly that is speaking about what we are talking about here, what Jesus was talking about, and that is, it's not about me, but rather it's for the glory of God. And so here are the two contrasts. Is it about me, or is it about God? Am I doing this so that men will look at me, men and women, the society will look at us and say, well done, good job, or is it about being obedient to what God is asking of us? And so the prohibition is to the children of men, or to the children of God, when therefore thou doest thine alms, don't sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites, those are the actors, those who pretended to be the children or the obedient to God. These were the actors. Don't sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. He exposes them there. They do it so that they have the glory of men. Now, there's no evidence. The scholars, some will say that there was perhaps the call to fasting was when they would have gone and blown the trumpet. And then part of that process would have been to the giving of alms at that time as well. So perhaps there's an allusion there to the blowing of the trumpet at the time to give alms. Perhaps it was, as we would say nowadays, don't go and toot your own horn. There's this idea that I'm doing good and I want everybody to see it. I'm doing good and I want everybody to take notice. And I remember a story a while back, Brother Chris Ritzman reminded me of this. And he said there was a businessman here in town. I can't remember which exactly. I don't remember which business it was. But he was a philanthropist and a generous man, and he would give money. And the community, some of the leaders of the community said, we want to publish who it is that gave this money. And he objected at first, and they tried. And I don't know if they were ever successful, but their idea was, we want to publish who it is that's making this generous donation so that others will see it and also be compelled to perhaps give as well. And so they were appealing almost to the base human nature of competition or a feeling like I can't be one-upped by this person. I applaud the man who says, no, I don't want to publish. I don't want my name put behind this. This is a gift that I'm giving. Again, I don't remember if he ever was, if he agreed to have his name published. But how about us? How about us when we give? Do we want to be known to be givers? Do we want to be known among us here that, you know, we're generous? It's a contrast of what does God want? What do we want? See, you will get a reward for it. It's not that the hypocrites, those who would toot their own horn in a sense, didn't get a reward. They got a reward. They were praised of men. They have their reward, Jesus says at the end of verse 2. And their reward was that they wanted to be seen by men and be praised by men. Did they do good? Yeah, they did. And so some would say, well, look, they did good. Poor people were fed. The hungry had food, the naked were clothed. And so the world looks at that and says, we want you to think of the benefits of giving and perhaps the tax receipts, the tax benefits that you get. Do we ever feel compelled to do that? It's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. Jesus says, but when thou doest thine alms, so this is the standard that now Jesus says, and when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. This is Jesus' idea of how we should be as the children of God when we give, when we exercise our belief, when true religion is being exercised by us, when it's hitting home in a sense in the area of our resources, and we give of our resources, when we feel so compelled by the Spirit of Christ that lives in us, that I want to reach out to the poor, I want to reach out to those who are in need. I see the suffering and I want to help to alleviate that, and I'm going to give. How do we do it? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Interesting concept, right? We never don't really think of our left hand, right hand as knowing anything. But what is Jesus intimating there? What is he saying here? I'm not 100% sure what he's... It's obvious. I think we can obviously say that we are not supposed to let others see that we are giving. I think that's quite obvious in the sense that if this short distance right here between left and right is not supposed to be, you know, have that knowledge, how much less is you and me over here, or me and you and all of... I'm not supposed to let you see. You're not supposed to know how much I give. You're not supposed to know the content, perhaps, or I'm not supposed to trumpet it around. I'm not supposed to toot my own horn. In fact, it's supposed to be so secret that not even my left hand knows what my right hand is doing. So obviously we know that we're not supposed to, this is not supposed to be common knowledge among us. We're not supposed to be so open and bragging about it, obviously, that each other knows. But how about in our own hearts? And when it speaks to the left hand, right hand, you know, now we're talking about ourselves, our own person. Have you ever been in a place where somebody would come up to you and say, hey, that was a really good job. I saw you do that, and I want to commend you for doing that. And you didn't remember actually even doing it? Have you ever been in a place where you were so moved by the Spirit to do something, an act of kindness, perhaps something that affected somebody, touched somebody in a certain way, and you don't even remember doing it? That's how secret it's supposed to be, because we're not supposed to dwell on it. See, the attitude we're supposed to have is, first of all, not to be, you know, bragging to the world about us that we're giving of alms, look at me, how well I'm doing, but we're also not supposed to dwell on it in our own hearts to the point where I become proud, to the point where in my mind I'm the greatest giver, I'm the greatest at praying, I'm the greatest at giving of alms, I'm the greatest, the greatest, the greatest. And Jesus speaks of this sort of thing in Matthew 25. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. So Jesus, this is at the, obviously looking forward to the day of judgment when we stand before God, and God is in a sense saying, you know, you are condemned because of what you didn't do. The faith that was in you was so dead that it didn't move you to do anything. And you were so busy worrying about yourself and worrying about your own ambitions and your own life that you didn't even see me. And of course, those who are prone to toot their own horn, in a sense, are going to remember everything they did, because they want not only the whole world, they themselves are so proud of what they've done, but they want the whole world to know. And so when Jesus says, I was hungered and ye gave me meat, I was thirsty and ye gave me drink, and so on, and they said, we didn't see you like that. They never did it. Everything they did was calculated. Everything they did was trumpeted. There was never something that they missed that would have brought accolades to them or the applause of men. But contrast that now to the children of God, to those who did these things from the right heart, with the right attitude. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? This is the attitude. This is the way that we ought to be living, and our religion should be, to a point where our left hand doesn't know what our right hand is doing. Where people will come to us and say, thank you so much. It meant so much to me that you did that. And you're like, oh, I don't remember doing that, but praise God. That's the place I want to be. I've been there at times, shamefully not enough, not often enough, but what a wonder it is to be there. And to, I'm so thankful then when it's revealed that you had the right attitude. That's a great place to be. And so then it says, verse 4, then that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. What do we need? We need to have faith here, because this is a secret thing, and the one who sees in secret will reward us openly. It says, so there will be the reward oftentimes that we experience here of the blessing of God in our lives, the blessing of God in not ever needing that or having that want in our lives, that desperation. But also there's the future promise of the blessing of God, that reward of God. It's not wrong to recognize that there's a reward here, but it's wrong to want to steal the praise from God. They want to steal the glory from God. I love the analogy that Brother Gary gave on Sunday of this wonderful piece of art, and you have this buffoon who's there supposed to be touring us through the art gallery, and all he's doing is standing there and getting in front of the picture and saying, look at me, everybody. And you know, I did a lot of work here, and you know, I've really tried hard, and I'm really successful at what I do, trumpeting himself of how he's giving and how good he is and so on. What a funny picture that is, but how tragic when in real life that's how we are. When we are standing in the way, when instead of our acts, our kindness, our deeds, as we'll see, the prayer and the fasting all happening in secret, we want everybody else to see us. Super Christian. We want to be the super Christian. Do you want to be the super Christian? Do you want to be the one that everybody looks to and says, wow? We just had a pillar in the Christian world pass away, Billy Graham. Do we all want to be like Billy Graham? That everybody knows him? Everybody knows you for who you are? Secret. Do you know what a secret is? It's something that nobody knows. Something that nobody knows. How many of us are desperate for people to know what we do, to see us doing it? We tell ourselves sometimes, especially now at tax season, that I want to be responsible with what the resources the Lord has given me, and generous donations, I get tax receipts, and I get, you know, big tax return back. Is that secret? Does that classify as a secret? Is it more important for us to get a big tax return Or are we willing to wait for the reward that God is giving us? Is there any virtue? Why would he emphasize the secrecy of this, though? Is there any virtue in it being secret? We actually can read in chapter 5 that it says in verse 16 of chapter 5, from 13 down to 16, it speaks about being the salt of the earth and interacting with the world, and then it speaks of being a light, and we don't put the light under a bushel. We have to let our light shine before men, and that they may see your good works. So Jesus is saying you are supposed to be a light unto men so that they can see your good works. Is this a contradiction? On one hand, Jesus is saying, no, you do this in total secrecy. And the other time, he's saying, no, let everybody see what you're doing. And it comes down to the attitude. Do I want everybody to see what I'm doing so that they'll praise me? Or will the light that's shining forth in me be the Brother Gary spoke about the glory, meaning that light, the illumination of God, the beauty of him that we can see with this light, is that the light that should be shining forth in us so that men have a context to understand the good deeds that we do? See, and therein is, there's no great wonder in the secrecy. There's no great purpose in the secrecy other than that it helps us to step aside. It helps us to step out of the way and get away from the front of the masterpiece picture. And rather than us standing there and trying to get everybody's attention, we're pointing to the one who is the masterpiece, the one who is the beautiful and the glorious Father. And see, when we stand and trumpet or toot our own horn and we say, look at me giving, we're trying to take that glory from God. God wants the world to see that he loves the poor. He wants the world to see that he cares for the poor, to see the love that comes from the Father. If we hide that by stealing the light, by stealing and trying to share the glory of God, we are actually getting in the way of men and women repenting, because it says that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The goodness of God as seen as he cares for those who are impoverished. I encourage you to look through the Old Testament. That's a big task. Look through Deuteronomy 15 and try and get a sense of the Lord's heart towards the poor. And see if we can, care or have the same attitude toward the poor. Oftentimes, especially in our culture of how so many of our forefathers struggled so hard, and I know my own father-in-law had such a difficult time, and he worked so hard to establish himself here in North America. And so then, do we allow that work ethic of ours to creep in and say, you know what? Those poor people, they're there because they're lazy. And I'm not going to help a lazy person. And then we have these examples of people who genuinely are abusing poverty, to the point where they are begging, they're panhandling, and then they go home to their lavish apartment. And I remember a case in Toronto just a while back where a lady was, they called her the shaky lady, where she was faking to have a physical ailment, and people would give her money, and somebody wised up to her and followed her, and she got into her expensive car and went to her expensive apartment. And then people are saying, I'm not giving my money to the poor. But when we do this in secret, we have to also recognize that the poor, we're protecting the poor, the impoverished. We're not exposing them. We're not exposing them to shame. We're not exposing them to ridicule, because our society doesn't look well on poverty. Within ourselves, we don't look well on poverty at times. And so I believe that the Father heart does not want us trumpeting and dragging out the poor people so that we can look good and benevolent and generous. at their expense. He doesn't want them to be exposed and shamed. They have dignity. Many of us will go through times in our lives where we will find we are in need. Circumstances in our life will perhaps put us in a place where some may call us poor. And at that point, would you want to receive of the Lord his blessings through an anonymous believer who looked upon us and through the Spirit of God recognized that we could use a hand? Instead of dragging us to the front of the church and exposing us and saying, this poor brother here, he needs help and he's failing. Something to consider. Why would Jesus tell us to be secret? To protect the poor. To not shame the poor. But predominantly, we are to do this in secret because it's not about us, as Brother Gary so eloquently reminded us on Sunday. It's not about us. The attitude that we are to have when we are giving to the poor is to disappear. We are not supposed to be front and center, as the saying is. We are supposed to give in secret. We are supposed to be so secretive, in fact, that it just becomes a natural part of our lives, and we don't even dwell on it in our own hearts. And we don't commend ourselves, and we don't become proud in how wonderful we are, how generous we are. So as we would consider going forward, and again, reminding us ourselves, giving of alms, ministering to the poor, is not an if, it's a when. It's not an option. We, in response to our faith, will minister to the poor. How will we do it, though? Will it be about us? Or will we allow the world to see how the Lord is good, how the Lord cares for those who are poor. And he does it through selfless servants. May we be those selfless servants. May we have the attitude that we read about here in the giving of alms. Amen.